pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
Live in Oxford as we continue. What an afternoon it has been. What a day tomorrow will be. So many big games. And we check in with John Talty, who spent part of his career in the state of Mississippi covering games just like the one here that we're talking about from the Grove. But we want to get John's thoughts on the game in his current state, and that's Alabama. John, great to see you. LSU coming to town for the matchup with Alabama. How many times have we been at this crossroads?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a huge game for many years now. I think it's one of those games that people are worried about, you know, whether it will continue in the future, depending on some of the SEC scheduling. But I mean, this is one of those big games that, you know, can decide the SEC West. And I think there's a real opportunity for that to ultimately be the case, depending on who wins on Saturday.
John, we have talked to you so many of these Friday afternoons this year, and Texas, we weren't really sure when we talked to you at the end of that program. A couple of other times, Ole Miss and A&M and Tennessee a few weeks ago when we were together in Tuscaloosa. And all of those seemed critically important games. This one's more important because a loss here and we all know. But I don't really hear much about that right now. I realize you're in Alabama. But the narrative has seemingly changed with this Alabama football season.
I think it has quieted down some. I think there's still that question of what is this Alabama team? I think there's still some question of, you know, the fan base in terms of how much they're invested and interested. I think that's continuing to grow as they win. But there's still, I mean, there's a lot at stake in this game, Paul, not only just for what it means, you know, I think for Alabama, but also for LSU. I think been a lot of talk. We've talked a lot about, you know, Kirby Smart and that relationship with Nick Saban and Georgia's, you know, ascension to the top of the SEC. But, you know, there'd be a real argument for Brian Kelly as the new king of the SEC West. If LSU is able to win back-to-back times against Alabama in his first 2 years at LSU. So there's, you know, there's been that talk of the changing of the guards in a broader way nationally between Georgia and Alabama. But I think if we made it even more localized from an SEC West standpoint, that's what is kind of at stake in this game. For LSU to win back-to-back years, to win at Alabama, would be a momentous occasion, you know, for Brian Kelly and LSU, but also the ramifications would be huge for Alabama.
Yeah, I don't want to be a constitutionalist here by throwing precedent up, but the last guy who beat Alabama 2 years in a row coached right here at Ole Miss, and I don't think he got a chance to do it 3 years in a row, or maybe he did, but he was gone pretty quickly after that.
Yeah, there were some issues there, Paul, as you're well aware of. But they had it going for a couple of years. And, you know, from the winning at Oxford with Katy Perry there to the, you know, really kind of wild and crazy finish in 2015 that really sparked that Alabama national championship journey. It doesn't happen very often. And there's also been a stat going around that Jaden Daniels would be the first quarterback to beat a Nick Saban-led team back-to-back years since Drew Brees back in when he was at Purdue and Saban was at Michigan State. So it's very rare. We don't see it very often. And I think there's a reason why Alabama wins a lot of these games. It's very hard to, you know, beat Nick Saban back-to-back years. He learns from, you know, the things that he saw. And I think you'll see a better Alabama defense this year trying to defend Jaden Daniels. But again, there's still a lot of history at stake here.
Talking to John Talty about that game. John, I want to talk about the game here for a second because it's not quite on the national tip of tongues as the one where you are, but the Jimbo Fisher-Lane Kiffin relationship is so weird and so unique. You did a book last year on the leadership secrets of Nick Saban. You're currently working on another one, and I think we all made too much out of Saban versus Jimbo last year. I think the better book would be Kiffin versus Jimbo, because it is a nasty relationship based on what I hear.
Yeah, I mean, Paul, while you're in Oxford, if you want to just kind of sprinkle that idea out to some of the Ole Miss power players and give them my phone number, I'd be happy to talk to them, because I agree. That's a great book. That's a blockbuster. I'm on board already. You're right. I think in terms of the games of the weekend, I think this is the most personal of the games. And it's not, it's what they say privately about each other. It's what they say publicly about each other. I mean, neither one wants to throw a compliment to the other one's way. I thought, you know, some of Wayne's comments the other day, not really wanting to touch it beyond just saying that Oxford is a better town than College Station. I agree for the record, but it's, there's a lot between these two guys. I think it means a lot to both of them on a personal level. And, you know, the stakes are probably, you know, in terms of this season are bigger for Ole Miss and that they're still in that SEC West race. But, you know, Jimbo needs to start stacking some wins together. And I think Ole Miss is an opportunity to do that. It's an important game for Jimbo to try to, you know, again, ease off some of the turmoil and discussion and rumors and speculation and all those things that are going on. So I can guarantee you, as much as Nick Saban and Brian Kelly want to beat each other, the two that want to beat each other the most are in Oxford this weekend.
Yeah, and I thought Lane Kiffin, I mean, he couldn't help it because he can't help a lot of things, but he had to make a point about how talented A&M was and how they were in a position to become bowl eligible. I mean, he didn't have to say much more than that, did he?
I mean, he's the king for a reason, Paul. You know, he's great at those little jabs. He's great at those little jokes. And I mean, he's, again, he is saying something publicly, what I think a lot of people are pointing out privately, that this is it's well known how much talent they've acquired over the recent years, having that, you know, what the time was the highest rated recruiting class of all time in 2021. And so I think that there's those just little jabs of, hey, you know, this is not some underdog team. They've got the best players you can possibly get, at least on paper at the time. And I think that's the kind of the overarching narrative around Jimbo and Texas A&M at this point is, are you getting your money's worth of this team? Are you getting the best bang for your buck? And I think, you know, as of right now, you're not. And if you lose games like potentially Ole Miss this weekend, I think that even furthers that narrative that you're really not getting a good return on investment.
Final thought I want to ask you about what's been the story of the week, and I have no idea where it's going, although I don't think it's going away from the public domain, and that's the Jim Harbaugh controversy at Michigan. How do you see that?
It's fascinating, Paul. I think that, you know, it's interesting that if you look back at history a little bit, you know, Kevin Warren, when he came into the Big Ten, immediately having to grapple with some big issues like the pandemic. And I think, you know, he failed some of those issues. And so here comes Tony Petitti, the new Big Ten commissioner. You know, times are great, right? You know, big TV deals. Big Ten has a really, you know, some really high ranked, powerful teams. And here he is in first year having to grapple with a really challenging situation. You know, it's been well reported at this point that coaches and ADs within the conference want something done. They want there to be repercussions for what Michigan has done. We haven't seen those play out quite yet, but I can feel for that situation of that. It's a very, you know, it's unprecedented really. And so whatever you do is going to be scrutinized heavily. And I think it's also why, Paul, you've seen people trying to kick the can to somebody else, you know, College Football Playoff people coming out and saying, that's an NCAA issue. I don't think anybody really wants to be the one to touch it as much as people privately are angry. Some of the power people, I think, are, you know, they're cautious. So I'm as fascinated as anybody, Paul, to see, is there an in-season situation in which there's a suspension, bowl ban, whatever it might be, or does this can just get kicked down the road until after the season, let Michigan play out how it does, and then you see some potential penalties afterwards?
John Talty joining us from Alabama on the eve of a monster college football weekend. We head to the break. So much more to do. We'll talk to the chancellor here at Ole Miss. Laura Rutledge is next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And the honey baked ham section around the table, brought to you by, of course, the Honey Baked Ham Company. We do this every week. Laura Rutledge here, and I felt for a second that maybe Laura was homesick for baby Reese.
So we, yeah, I am. Oh, guys, we have some friends. Hey, guys.
We did this last year. Say hello. These kids aged 11 on down, as you can tell, are from Oxford. I ran into them last year, and they came up, and they wanted to do it again.
Wait, Paul. All right, so I know this is Nora, and this is Baker, right? Say it right? Yeah. Okay, so we got to tell everyone's name.
Okay.
We know two names. So go ahead.
Jane.
All right, go around, say your names. Oh, they're saying they don't have a microphone. That's okay. Well, you guys all say your names, though, because we asked some other names, so we don't want to miss out on anyone's names. All right, so everyone said their name. We're so glad to have you guys, Ole Miss fans.
Okay, before you guys go, give us a little bit of a – tell us who you're for tomorrow. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Yay!
Let's all give a big hand. These guys
I couldn't. Okay. You're such a nice person.
I
didn't either. I think they should have actually. They should have taken my microphone instead of me being.
I was angling for that.
I know. But I knew you were trying to.
The honey baked ham people said you had to be here.
Hey, did Joe Tessitore eat a honey baked ham earlier?
Yes.
It fell right off the bone, and he was just couldn't.
I mean,
stop.
He ate it and ate it.
I know.
Nobody's ever eaten that much.
I think I have in my refrigerator, but yes, it'll be interesting to see him at dinner tonight and see if he's hungry still.
He will be. I don't really understand what was going on there.
I don't know. We love it,
but
though.
But anyway,
bone in half ham.
Great to see you back.
Delicious.
Good
great to see you. Paul, you know, this is one of my favorite places to be with you because I feel like you get this. There's a Grove Paul that happens when we come here. It's like this very sophisticated vibe out of you. It's very Southern. We're close to Memphis, which is your hometown.
Yeah.
And every time I go through Memphis, I think about you. So.
Yeah, I do too. I think about you when I go through Memphis. And.
What? Yeah, I was going through it. Like, when did I land here? It was like 11 something last night. I landed in Memphis, and I was.
You were walking in Memphis, 10
yeah.
feet off the ground.
Okay. Yeah. I wanted to sing it, but we might have to pay for that. So
yeah,
afford that.
It's weird because I go back to Alabama. I feel like I'm home. I go to Knoxville. I feel like I'm home. And I'm the only person on the show that has three hometowns.
Yeah, you really do. I mean, and listen, Paul, you know, you're somebody that everybody knows will always be associated with Alabama in some way, shape, or form. And that's great. I feel like I run into a lot of people who don't even know that you went to Tennessee, which I'm not, I don't want to tell Tennessee fans that, but there's that. And then, yeah, I mean, you're a Memphis guy. So, but it just speaks to the fact that you are everyone's brother. You are everyone's father, grandfather to some.
Great grandfather to others.
You are. Everyone just embraces you in the South, and you embrace them right back. You're a big physical touch guy. You love a good hug.
It's just amazing considering how quickly the narrative of me has changed.
I know. He's so warm and fuzzy now, guys. What happened to
speaking
you,
Speaking of warm and fuzzy, we're on Lane Kiffin's campus.
I know. Well, you know, it's funny because I feel like, and you would know better than me because you've been listening to your callers all week long, and I don't know how many Ole Miss callers you have, but I know you have some. It seems like there's a little bit of tension this week ahead of Georgia, I actually think it's a good thing for Ole Miss because there's no way they're overlooking Texas A&M. And as much as A&M's been inconsistent, and sometimes you scratch your head and say, how could a team this talented? I realize the quarterback's been injured. They haven't had Connor Wigman. I think they're in a different situation if they had him. But still, a team that talented across the board has the record that they have. I think there's a bit of nerves at play here for Ole Miss, which, again, is a good thing because they don't want to overlook this ahead of Georgia.
Well, Kiffin's is a unique coach because it's always personal with him. with Saban, it's kind of like his daddy. And he's the teenager, and he screws it up. I mean, he takes daddy's car out, hits a fire hydrant on the way down the street. I mean,
imagine if Kiffin actually did that with Saban's car.
But I feel like he could have been Coach Saban's son.
And, totally.
And they would have had this tempestuous relationship. And that game always gets in Coach Kiffin's way. And this one's different though because I don't know really whether it's older than a year and a half ago when. Let's be honest, Jimbo Fisher called Lane a clown.
He did, I know. So did you think this week that when Kiffin kind of had his little moment about, like, oh, look at the talent versus the record for A&M, was that – he could have done a much bigger shot, I think. Like, felt a little tame because I don't think he wants to poke that bear.
No, I don't think he wants to either. And I think because he felt that he overdid the Saban deal and lost the game And I don't think it's a stretch to say Ole Miss probably should have won that game.
Yeah.
They had the talent to have beaten Alabama. They didn't, though. And then I think it was the next week, or against LSU, he went quiet.
He did. And it wasn't even on just because he went quiet. Sorry to interrupt you. We weren't talking enough about Ole Miss, I don't think.
And
leading into that
I think
game.
He's a creature of habit. He wants this week to be quiet, too. Now we're letting it
we're
all out.
We're talking about it. I know. I did hear, he was doing his normal routine. Marty told me he was going to hot yoga earlier today. Mm. So he's making sure that he's got that going on. And, laser focused, working on the playbook. He loves hot yoga.
Have you ever done hot yoga?
I have. You know, Paul, it was funny because there was a time in my life where put on a
we
few
know.
LBs.
There was a time in your life. We talked about that last week in Jacksonville.
Stop it. I'm still trying to undo the damage you did to me with that.
I'm still trying to find out what you didn't tell us last week.
Well, talk to me later. Yeah, it's on E! News. Nobody cares. So I did try to do some hot yoga.
How many people asked me if I believed your story about riding back on the Fidel bus
that
or whatever it was
yeah.
called?
Yeah, you believe me. You know I'm a woman of my word. Come on. But anyway, so I was trying to, shed some. I needed to get healthier. I hadn't been working out that much. So I was like, oh, hot yoga. So I started doing it in Gainesville, and it's already hot in Gainesville. So you go into a hot yoga in Gainesville, and it's probably like 150 degrees in there, and it's intense. Like I would not recommend it for you.
I've never done.
You're a really good. Paul works out like a.
I've never
maniac.
Done cold yoga, let alone hot yoga.
Are you flexible?
No.
Can you do a stretch or like a downward dog or any of those?
I'm at a point in life where I need help to get on the treadmill.
You do not. You guys, this is a true fact about Paul, though. I would say every place that we go on a Friday night.
First question I ask, where's the fitness
room? He says, where's the fitness room? And you will see Paul. I mean, some of these places, it's like you walk past in the lobby, you're trying to check in, and you just see Paul just running on the treadmill, getting after it. And you usually have the same workout. Have you been, because I haven't seen you do this yet this year. I've been, asleep at that point. So
it's the same workout.
Is it that fluorescent yellow?
No. I've gone Lululemon on my workouts.
Whoa, bougie Paul. Excuse me. I mean, goodness.
No.
I mean,
that was.
Wow.
That was
okay.
that thing you saw I borrowed from some guy that worked at the airport.
He used to have, but it was safe because if anyone was going to run into you on the treadmill, they wouldn't miss you. But anyway, so Paul is you're very conscious about it. I really admire that, Paul, truly.
Remember last year we stayed in Athens. It was this weekend, a year ago.
Yeah.
Big weekend. Tennessee, number one in the country, playing at Georgia.
Right, right.
And I got back and went down to the front desk, and I said, do you mind telling me where your fitness room is? She said, well, I said, well, what? She said, we have a treadmill on order.
So wait,
I said, so you don't have a treadmill? She said, no.
Oh, no. But was there any other
equipment? And it was nighttime, so I wasn't going to go outside and run.
No, no, no. Please don't do that. You would make me really worried. I worry about you.
You remember that hotel?
I do. I do. We will not name the hotel, but I'm not shocked they didn't have a treadmill. Put it that way.
They didn't
have a... You know what I did that night? I went to Publix.
That was the least of our concerns.
Yeah, right, exactly. I actually went to Publix that night, and I bought a candle because I was trying to, like, you know, smell something different. But then the other thing about that was... While I was there, I got a sub sandwich, which I don't know why that was important detail, but I do love a pub sub. So, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. I mean, yeah. You walked in that hotel and you're going, is there a dead body here somewhere?
Wait, can I tell a really funny story? I'm probably going to get in trouble for this, but it doesn't matter. Now I'm too far in. So one of the things that happened at
If you text me, I'll tell you the name of the hotel.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. He will. So one of the things that happened at that hotel was there was this, like, whiteboard outside in the lobby where we could sign our names. You know, we were going to sign that we had been there, which is, you know, interesting choice.
Kilroy was
And
there.
Somebody on our crew signed Chris Fowler's name.
Right.
But Chris Fowler wasn't with us. So to this day, this particular hotel has a signed board with all of our names on it and Chris Fowler, who was a great guest on your show, by the way.
I did not
sign the board.
The voice of college
football at ESPN. You didn't sign the board?
No, I did not want anybody to know that
I'd
ever been there before.
I mean, that's why they can't get a treadmill, because people like you won't sign the board.
Should I start bringing my treadmill with me?
That's so bougie. You know what I did hear? There are some celebrities who, and you're big time like this.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Who travel their Peloton or their...
Really? Why would you need to do that? First of all, if you're a celebrity, you're probably staying at places better than the Dewdrop Inn that we stayed at in Athens.
People are Googling, like, where's a Dewdrop?
So you walk in a hotel, and they usually say, are you a member of the Honors Club or the whatever it's called? I mean, this hotel did not have a concierge floor.
You know what? At the end of the day, all you guys need to know is that people like Paul Feinbaum are people, too, okay?
Yeah.
And we all go through these
things. By the way, I was walking looking for the treadmill, and I did find the washing machine, which was active at the time.
Next time, we're going to camp out. Have you ever done that? I know you got to get the chancellors coming on, but have you ever camped out? I just want to quickly.
Oh, yeah, sure.
In a tent?
I was a Boy Scout, whatever.
Yeah.
Were you in
Starting
Scouts?
A fire? Oh, yeah, I was a brownie.
Were you?
Yeah, I was.
See,
I was good at that.
My mom was a Girl Scout leader.
Really?
Well, I mean, whatever you call it.
Yeah, no.
So I would go. I was a little kid, and I would.
That's so nice.
She would drag me along, like to the and
imagine little Paul.
But I didn't understand what was going on. I was just too young to realize. I'm here with a bunch of Girl Scouts and brownies.
Honorary brownie, Paul Feinbaum.
So did you go beyond brownie?
I think I did for a little bit. And
brownie
then
is like the lowest
brownie's
level
a
of
low,
the Girl Scouts.
Yeah, but, you know, whatever. Like, don't judge me for being a brownie. But then I do think I was a Girl Scout for a little bit. And then I don't know what happened. I think
did you ever sell Girl Scout cookies?
I did. I got real competitive with that. My dad helped me.
Is there anything you're not competitive with?
No. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, what's wrong with me? Jeez. Anyway, I do love Girl Scout cookies. So if you have any, if your daughter is selling Girl Scout cookies, send me a tweet because I'll buy some. Because I'm trying to find some excuses.
What was your favorite?
You know what? I actually really like the Samoas.
Samoas.
But I like the tagalongs. I mean, honestly, Paul, I never met a cookie I didn't like. Okay, they're yelling at us. We gotta go.
Why do they always rush you off? I feel like
I don't know.
The segments. Don't you think the segments
too short?
They've
been mad at me from the get-go. I didn't have a mic on the kids. I screwed the whole thing up.
Oh, we have the university chancellor. That's why they're rushing you out of
Sorry.
Here. Of Ole Miss, not of like. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
And we are back here in Oxford. So great to have all of you here. And we met Chancellor Glenn Boyce a year ago, and we're very honored that the Chancellor at Ole Miss would rejoin us. Chancellor, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. It's great to have you back in Oxford and great to have you back at Ole Miss.
Thank you. First, let me ask you about the button, because I heard there's a pretty good story behind this.
This button, we do an amazing job at our university serving. It's one of the things that we believe leadership is all about, is when we serve. And this button's about a Rebel-thon dance that we have for the Children's Hospital down in Jackson, which is part of our university. And our students dance for 12 hours or more, and they raised well over $200,000 during that period of time. It takes them almost a year to get it prepared. And Paul, they even danced for many couple years with a mask and everything else. They were so committed and dedicated to the children of Mississippi.
That is really great. This university is it's either approaching or has just reached 175 years.
Yes, our anniversary is Monday, actually, and we're excited about that. It's been an amazing university for 175 years, and we're just very, very proud of where we are today and very proud of the years that have gone by.
I talked to you, I think, when you were here last, because you were about to have was connected to obviously the civil rights movement, but there was somebody was on campus, James Meredith,
yes.
I think. Yeah, I was so intrigued by that, being a young person in that era and being just a great and avid student of history, especially what this university has dealt with, overcome, but also like any great institution, look in the mirror and learn from its history.
Oh, without question. And we had a tremendous celebration. It was a year-long celebration of James Meredith's legacy here at the university. And it was exciting. And we started the James Meredith speaker series and did many, many things throughout the course of the year. And each college and school did some type of function to honor James. And James and Judy have been really, really close friends to the university for a long time. But it's been quite a ride with James, and I've enjoyed every minute of it.
I think it's so interesting because I think a lot of institutions have come forward, but there still are those throughout the world who really don't want to address the past. But one thing I've always admired about this university in particular is it not only deals with it, but I think it uses it as a learning example for the students, and I'm sure, I don't know if that was the intent, but it seems like so many, especially young people who were not around during that time, Chancellor, who probably have a hard time imagining what James Meredith went through.
Well, I think you're right in that statement. They have a hard time imagining because life is so different today. But it's because of people like James Meredith and because of the courage that he showed and because of this university's record of his history and what's gone on that we can explain that to young people so that these things will never happen again. And so it was in terms of what this university has done to walk through its history and to record its history and correct its history, I will put it up against anybody in the country.
No, it's really remarkable. We're chatting with Chancellor Boyce here. And Chancellor, as you look back, and this is a football weekend, and yeah, we do like the games on Saturday. But how does a school like this use a weekend as this one and others to help really market's not the right word, but educate, maybe, is a better word. Young people who may be visiting, I've run into a number of them, other people who are watching. It's a big moment as national television cameras zero in.
Yeah, the visibility that we get across the nation from a weekend like this just can't be understated. Another issue with it for us is we have such a family atmosphere here, and it's part of our culture that game day experience begins right here in the Grove. And it's an all-day experience for our fans, and that's exciting. And then we've worked really, really hard for our in-game experience. So by the time you have come here and spent the entire day, and by the time you've gone to the game, and by the time you've had the full experience, it's a pretty vibrant and dynamic place to be. And we hope that that's what comes across on national television, because that's who we are, and that's what we're all about.
Chancellor, in terms of higher education, it seems like it becomes almost a political football about what people say, especially at a time like this when there's so much conflict going on in the world and the freedom of people to express themselves comes into view. In terms of what you are hoping the message is, what can you share with us about the mission statement here and about what this university continues to try to accomplish?
I can tell you what we believe in above all else, and what we do best is that we build leaders. That's who we are at this university, and we build them through a variety of ways. But our expectations are, if you're a student and you come to this university, that you will walk across that stage and be ready to lead. You won't have to take and wait 10 years after you've left us and say, oh, I'm a leader now. And there's a lot of different systems, a lot of things we put in place to make that happen. And so that's the key piece. And the other piece of that is that in order to be a leader, you have to have a certain degree of independence. And we expect that here as well. We expect our students to express that independence, and we express them to articulate their views and how they feel about life.
I'll share with you one story that happened on this campus a couple of years ago. I was asked to give a commencement speech, and it was at the law school. And my wife was sitting with a young man, and he told her. He said, "When my sister's name is going to be called out, please excuse me." He says, "I'm going to get up and hoop and holler." And she said, "Well, that's amazing." And she said, "She's the first person in our family to get a degree, to go to undergraduate, now a law degree." And he did. And I heard him, and it was one of those moments that you probably have experienced. But it made me so proud to see what a university, especially this university, you know, the impact it has on people who did not have the same opportunities that you and I and many others had did.
Well, let me just say this, Paul. I was a first generation college student. Okay. And I came from a unique set of circumstances as well, from upstate New York, where I was never supposed to attend college. It wasn't supposed to be part of my life. And so the entire trajectory of how I managed to make my way through higher education is something that I can appreciate for any student who's first gen. And I'll also say this too, when you have that kind of trajectory and you wrap yourself and a university wraps itself around each other, and you can really, really achieve something in life that nobody ever expected and nobody ever thought you would at 14 and 15 years of age, that's what higher education can do for people. That's why it's so important to this nation.
Chancellor, I think you might have one of the most unique paths of any administrator I've ever run into. You were a coach.
Yeah, I was. It was
and
exciting.
A good one.
Yeah, I had, you know, good athletes will make a good coach, Paul. You know, so yes, I did. I coached high school football for years, and I coached high school basketball, and I had the opportunity at one point. We won a state championship. I had a team that went 12-0, and I was excited about them. They were an amazing team, and my wife and I had to make a decision years ago, and we had to decide whether I was going to be a professional coach, which I consider college coaching to be, or whether I was going to be a professional educator, and we chose the professional education route. I'm certainly glad we did, but you know what, Paul? Coaches back then didn't make what they make today.
Or yeah,
maybe you and I wouldn't be talking to
you. I was about
today to
tell you, I think you made a mistake. I mean, you could have been Lane Kiffin, you know, knocking down 10, 12 million
a year.
Yeah,
there you go.
I have never heard a story like that before, because it's not easy to achieve excellence and success at two different things, but you have mastered it.
Well, it was a great time, and a lot of, but I will never regret the decision to come into the field of educational administration and to make my way in the world through different educational realms. I was a K-12 educator, and I was a community college president, and I was a commissioner of higher ed in the state of Mississippi, and then the opportunity to come back to my alma mater to be chancellor has been the greatest privilege of my life.
I was a fair reporter before I became whatever I'm doing now. So, and the question is just begging to be asked. As you sit there and watch games, are you second guessing the coaching because you've done it before?
Absolutely. Without question, Paul. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, nobody wants to sit next to me. Look, you know, there's a lot of presidents and chancellors up in their suite to spend a lot of time talking with people and politicking and do the things you're expected to do, right? Now, I'm glued to my seat. I'm watching everything that's going on in the whole field. And, I'm one of those true fans, without question. And the coach comes out in me, unfortunately, from time to time.
We're going to do that one day. I don't know if we'll get permission or not, and I don't even know where to go. But I want to bring a camera crew and watch you during a game. and I'm going to say, Chancellor, did Lane Kiffin make the right call there?
Look, Lane and I have a great relationship, so, you know, I can buzz down to him. So,
because I've had plenty of questions about his decision-making, not lately, by the way, though. Chancellor, what a treat to have you here. This was absolutely our pleasure, and we hope to do it again.
It's always a privilege to be with you, Paul. Thank you.
Thank you very much. What a fantastic conversation with the Chancellor right here at Ole Miss. We'll take a short break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And welcome back. As we say hello to Ryan McGee here on a Friday afternoon. Ryan, one of the undercurrents of this week has been Jimbo and Lane Kiffin. I want to mine your brain for this coaching matchup.
Well, it's been interesting too because I don't know if I've ever heard a head coach in their press conference talk about something that another coach said in their press conference like earlier that day. And Lane Kiffin on Tuesday was like, "Well, I saw where Jimbo said this." And said that specifically about Texas A&M trying to become bowl eligible. And Lane Kiffin said, well, your goal has to be what you want to do and keeping your opponent from doing what they want to do. He said, so if we keep them from being bowl eligible this weekend, then we've done our job. And I was like, that was weird. You don't ever hear the one head coach say, well, he just said this at his presser and then react. Well,
but you know Lane Kiffin. And he
I do.
I mean, there are times when I think he may know more about Jimbo Fisher than his own program.
Well, and what was interesting, too, was
– And a lot of other programs.
Yeah, with just the Tuesday press conference, I heard – Lane kept talking about collecting a roster. It's the most talented roster I've ever seen. And props to those who collected it. And he goes, they've collected a great roster. He used the word collected, I think, 9 times on Tuesday.
Wonder why.
And I know those are jabs. So it was entertaining. It's never not entertaining with Lane.
And with Jimbo, too?
And with Jimbo, too. I mean, it's just
– He's a character.
He is a character. But there is a point, too, where, you know, it's the old quote from Bull Durham, right? When they told Nuke LaLoose, she said, you can grow fungus on your shower shoes. If you win 20 games in the major leagues, they'll say you're colorful. If you grow fungus on your shower shoes and you lose 20 games, then you're just a slob. And so, you know, there's certain things you can say and joke and be folksy, whatever, when you're winning 10 or 11 games. If you're losing 8, 7, 6 games, then a lot of times that stuff wears out on you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think that's you know, Jimbo's not quite as funny as he used to be.
He's not. And I don't – he's not saying anything any different than he used to, but the difference is it's like Dabo. I mean, Dabo could get away with saying some of the things that he would say or barking down at callers or whatever when you've won 11 games and when you're 4-4.
You know, the most interesting thing about the Dabo thing is the number of people that have defended Dabo this week.
Yeah. Well, so the guy from Spartanburg, mistake number one is kind of like the Michigan scouting thing. It's too nuanced.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be that detailed. So the guy from Spartanburg went on a little too long, and he had way too much, too many talking points.
Well, I've waited for you to show up because you're a reporter.
But then on the flip side, Dabo made the same mistake because Dabo would have been better off Dabo should have talked for 1 minute and wrapped it up.
The caller, though. The guy's a caller. Dabo's is one of the preeminent coaches in the game.
Well, not according to that caller. So the point is that the caller could have used what's the classic line? I'm going to hang up and listen to your comments. He should have talked for 1 minute. All right, I'm going to hang up and listen to your comments. And then Dabo should have responded for 1 minute and have been done. And the call was too long and the response was too long. And as a result, we've had to talk about this all
week. Well, and I know Dabo wanted to say what he had to say, but the fault of the whole conversation was the host, who knew the caller was going off the ledge, and he should have stopped him.
But and listening to it, you can hear Dabo. All right, that's enough, is what he says.
Right.
And I'm curious to know, did Dabo just let that roll? Because he could have cut it off, I'd assume. Or did he let it go on purpose? It's like deep sea fishing. Let them run with the line as long as they can.
But I'm trying to figure out what Dabo got out of the deal, though, because the caller is a celebrity and Dabo is still a sniveling coach.
And he's still 4-4. it is what it is, right?
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.